Well, we're in the study of the book of Revelation. Last week, we almost finished chapter 20, but we'll do something a little different this morning with the book. There's so much teaching out on the book, and I mean, commentators, just they can't agree with anything. What you do, it's not a complicated book, despite what many people want to say and believe. It's rather simple. And the reason it's rather simple is because the book being a lot of pictures, they explain themselves. Sometimes something is brought up. He may not explain what it is till two chapters later. But when most people go through it, they try to decipher, they try to think there's some hidden meaning, they try to... And it's not a book written like that. I have said it before and I'll continue to say it because people are so unfamiliar with the Old Testament prophets and how they spoke. That's why the book's all messed up by people today. He talks just like they did. And so when you grasp that and you can let the book alone and not try to add your 2 cents worth and figure this out and that out, just let it paint the picture and then let him tell you when it's time. Oh, by the way, this is this, and this is that. That's how you can figure out the book. What I did, I went back through the book, and something started showing up to me. I started seeing this term, nations. Nations. And it struck me, that's what this book is talking about. If Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which He is, that means He's King of Kings over the nations. He is Lord over the nations. And I'm going to take you through and I'm going to let you see the picture as we go back through. Look at how He explains it and it's kind of neat. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. He begins the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And He sent and communicated it by His angel to His bondservant John, who testified to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Whose revelation is this? Jesus Christ. Where did He get it? He got it from God. What's the purpose of this book? The things that must soon take place. We have a hard time remembering when things are written. He's talking to the people that He wrote to at that day and time. And He's telling them that day and time, the things that would soon take place. Because what? The time is near. That's what He says in verse 3. And if you want to be blessed, you can read, hear, and heed. Someone reads it. Remember, they had one copy. We did it early on in the class where I stood up here and I had you shut your Bibles, you remember? And all I did is I just read a chapter. And I asked you what you heard. Well, they had to have it read to them. They had to hear it, and they had to heed it. And there would be certain things, as He describes in chapters 2 and 3, as He would describe something to the different congregations, the seven churches that it was sent to, boy, it'd perk your ears if there was a promise made to you. And then you get over to the end of the book, or toward the end of the book, and you hear that promise come up again. It'd perk your ears up. Oh, He's talking about us. This book is meant to be read, to heed. It was about things which must soon take place. Come over to chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 10. This is the church in Philadelphia. Look what He says to them. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What does he tell this little old church at Philadelphia? What do we learn? There, he's not going to test them. What do we learn in relationship about the world? Okay, but what do we learn? Okay, but that's what they did. They stood firm. But what do we learn about the world? There was an hour of testing about to come upon the whole world. Isn't that what he just told them? Philadelphia's position in all of that was what? They were going to be spared. Out of what we know this book is about, what if you were at the Church of Philadelphia? What would you be aware of? I mean, we're up in chapter 20. Did things get better or worse from chapter 3? Think about what would you know now if you were told by Jesus, I'm going to keep you from the hour of testing. Hallelujah. Would that be a great blessing? You know what? Not one other church was told that. They're going to have to go through it. But the church at Philadelphia, he says, there was a testing and it's about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. See, it's going to involve everybody. But they were going to be spared. See, it would be a blessing for them. And by the way, just that verse right there, what does it tell you about being faithful? What's the value of it? God keeps His promises. Great point. You know, does God take care of those who are faithful to His Word? Absolutely. Look back at chapter 2 real quick in verse 26. This is to the church at Thyatira. Look what He promises them. Verse 26. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. What about the church at Thyatira, to those who overcame? Notice he says, what are they going to be given? He makes a quote. Jesus is talking here. He makes a quote about himself. But you know what he tells them? They're going to be given authority over the nations. Those that overcome and keep what he has, they're going to be able to rule with him. You remember we're up in chapter 20? You remember those who had died? He says they're going to reign with, they came alive and they reigned with Jesus. Here's your promise. But they're going to reign with Jesus over the nations. Keep that in mind. Come over to chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, we're going to begin verse 9. Jesus has come up. He's taken the little book that was in the right hand of God who sat up on the throne. He takes this little book. Heaven breaks out because there was nobody worthy to open it. Look at verse 9. Look at what happened in heaven as a result. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. What did Jesus do for them? When Jesus took that book, what did Jesus do according to verse 9? They have been purchased. They've been redeemed to God with the blood. From where? From every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You know what? In the whole world out there, guess what had come about? There were people who were saved by the blood of Christ. in this world, in this conflict back at this time. Look at verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Notice what those purchased in the world would do one day. They what? They will reign upon where? The earth. See, when we read the book of Revelation, people forget these statements, these teachings back here. And here heaven breaks out into this song because Jesus was worthy to take the book. And they start singing. You've purchased with your blood men from all these nations, people from all the tongues and nations on the earth. And you know what you've made them to be? A kingdom. They're a kingdom on the earth. And he says, and they will reign upon the earth. See, we forget these kind of things, you know. And so here you've got the promise to the overcomers. They're going to be able to reign with Jesus and rule the nations. You've got the promise to those who will become a kingdom and a priest of priests, and they're going to reign on the earth. See, we forget those things as you get up into the book. Look over, come over to chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. Oh, let's go down to verse 15. In this book, there were seven trumpets, if you remember. This is the seventh trumpet. If trumpets were for warnings. No, look at verse 15. Look at the message that is sent. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. What's the message? He's going to reign forever and ever. That's one. Give me another message, though. The world is going to become, or has become, the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, Messiah. Now, what does He mean by that? Look down at verse 17. These 24 elders, and they all fell on their face to worship God, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because You have taken Your great power and have begun to reign. Something changed in this book. All the way up to this point, God has now begun to flex His muscles and His reigning power. Has God always reigned? Absolutely. The Psalms tells us at the flood, God reigned. God's always reigned over the earth. Why is He saying now, you've begun to reign? Why does He say that the kingdom of the Lord and His Christ now have begun to reign forever and ever? All right, going to take vengeance on ungodly lives. But notice what we've been talking about. To those who overcome, they're going to get to reign with Jesus, the nations. To those, you know, that are on this earth, they're going to be a kingdom and priest to God, and they will reign on the earth. And now this picture that God has begun to reign through His Christ. And now that God has made the kingdom of the world His kingdom, and He reigns over it, and He's begun to exercise. You see, this book is showing the struggle that's been between God and the devil all the way from the beginning. And God's always waited in history for one thing. What's God been waiting to do? Not really. He's waiting for Jesus to come at the right time. And so here we're in chapter 11, In chapter 11, they're all, heaven's breaking out. You've begun to reign. Well, I thought you reigned before. We're talking about reigning through His Messiah, His Christ. And so that's where the reigning began. You see, God installs His king, and earth doesn't like it. And so now He begins to show that God says, you know what? My Messiah, my Christ, is on the throne. He has begun to reign. And how did the earth feel about it? Look at verse 18. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. How did the nations react to God's rule through Jesus? And how does He call that? They didn't act, you know, they didn't react kindly. They were enraged. They were enraged. They didn't like it. And so they were enraged. And so guess what God did? What does He say God did? Well, you get my wrath. Jesus is my king. He reigns on the earth. He's the Messiah. He's my anointed one. The earth reacted to that. We're enraged. We don't like Him. God says, okay, let me tell you what. Then you will get my wrath. Because Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He rules this world. And the more you fight against me, the more I'm going to show you and the nations of the earth, it's my King that rules. And I will rule through Him. This is what the book is about. And you know what? To those who overcome, to those who follow my word, heed my voice, they're going to get to reign with me. And they're going to be a kingdom and priests where? On the earth. See, we hadn't got to that part yet. But that's what He wants them to be. That's what they're going to be. And so guess what? They're enraged. God's wrath came. And so God's got to show, I'm going to give you my wrath to the fullest. Let's continue on. Look at chapter 12, verse 5. Chapter 12, and we said it when we were there, chapter 12 is a snapshot of history. It's just a little quick bloop. Here's what happened in history. Look at verse 5. This is when Jesus was born, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God into His throne. Now remember, we have the scene. There was a great red dragon. He had one purpose. And what was his purpose? You remember? I want to devour that child. You know what that child's going to be? That's going to be God's king. That's God's anointed. That's His Messiah, His Christ. And nations are enraged about it. And so guess what? O devil, O dragon, this dragon, we find out verse 9, he is the devil of old Satan. He's ready to devour the child. He doesn't get the child. But what's unique about this male child? What's his function? He's to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That's his function. Boy, if we could see the function of Jesus on this earth clearer. And that's what this book is trying to do, trying to get us to see. God's installed His king, and He is allowing all these things to happen on the earth because His king's going to reign. And God's given man an opportunity to turn things around. Man doesn't heed. They still reject. They're enraged at God. They don't like anything God has to say. So God says, then you're going to get my wrath. My king's going to exercise power, and He's going to rule this world with a rod of iron then. That's the options they get. Look at chapter 13, verse 7. We now have Satan's ally. He's this beast that comes up out of the sea. Satan begins to use him for his purpose. We already know the beast. He's a king. He's a ruler. We found out in chapter 17, we called him by name. He's Domitian. But look at verse 7. It was also given to him, the him there being the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So Satan's ally, the beast, what does God allow to happen? God allows him to make war with the saints. What else does God allow? To overcome them. And what else does God allow? To have authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. I mean, you know what? You know what this book is about? This book is an object lesson. That's what the whole book is about. It's an object lesson because here God allows things. Why would God allow His people to die? Because God says, I reign. I rule through my king. And those people who are tied to me are precious to me. Oh, I'm allowing it. But I'm about to show the nations that this child that was born is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, even those who are the biggest. And Mr. Beast, you think you're overcoming? I've given you authority to war with my people. And you've overcome them. I've also given you the authority over every tribe, all the nations. See, we're teaching an object lesson. And the lesson is this. Heaven rules. No matter what it looks like on earth. Heaven rules. There is a king. His name is Jesus. He is God's anointed. And He rules the nations with a rod of iron. And I have already given the authority that my people will also reign over the nations, over the earth. Wow. Questions or comments at this point? Look at chapter 14. Look at verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. What's taking place during all this stuff going on? There's being a gospel preached. How far? To all the nations. You know what God's declaring to all the nations, even though the nations have risen up against Him? They're enraged at God's king. What's God given opportunity? There is a way out. You can come under my authority freely. So when all this stuff, by all this stuff going on, by this beast, oh, devil first starts it, he uses this beast one, he uses that beast two, God's making sure His gospel's being preached to all these nations so they can at least hear it. Look at verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and springs of water." So guess what the message was? Need to fear God. See, they're enraged at God. Need to fear Him. Verse 8. And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." Now, what's this angel declare? Babylon the Great's gone. We found out in chapter 17, Babylon the Great. Who? It's Rome. It's a city, the great city that ruled the nations of the world. And now this pronouncement has been made. This woman, she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. She has been the one to help the nations stand against God. She's the source. She's always been the source. And God's had enough of her. Chapter 15, verse 2. Now, see, here's a quick lesson for you, by the way. You know, he calls her fallen as Babylon the Great. At that time and point, we don't even know who that is. See, you've got to get two more chapters over before he starts describing who she is. Here's to tell you how the books work. Instead of trying to figure everything out, just let it flow. Chapter 15, look at verse 2. Here's a victory scene. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire. And those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass holding harps of God. What's the scene? There's this victorious people that have overcome the beast. They've overcome his number. They didn't take part in any of that. And now they're celebrating. Look at the song, verse 3. And they sang the song of Moses and the bondservant of God and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations." Their song was what? Who are you? You're the King of the nations. What are the nations doing? The what? The nations are enraged. But here's the King of Kings. Here's God the Almighty. You are King of the nations. Get enraged all you want. Use your kingship. Use this city to the fullest that reigns over the nations of the earth. But I am over all. Verse 4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you. For your righteous acts have been revealed. When God's King brings His judgment and His wrath, how will the nations of the earth respond? They're going to worship you. Because you know what? They're going to see who really rules. Now, I'm just taking the notion of nations. We're just going through the book, back up to where we're going to get to chapter 20, finish it out. But you need to see, get the picture of what this book is about. People say, but if it's already taken place and it's not future for us, then what's the purpose of the book? What's the message for us? Yeah. God reigns. Jesus reigns. He's in control. He's in control of Libya, of Iran, of Iraq, of America. No matter how powerful or how weak people are, I'm in control of the whole thing. Oh yeah, I'll allow things to go on, but my wrath's going to have the final say. I rule the nations with a rod of iron. And my people will reign with me over the nations. See, we hadn't got to that part to figure that one out, how that's going to come about. But the wrath of God, you know, it's there. Come to chapter 16. Look at verse 19. This is the final bowl of wrath. It's poured out on the air. Look at verse 19. Excuse me. Yeah, verse 19. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of His fierce wrath. What happened? You have this city. When this city falls, what goes with it? The cities of the nations. You strike the city that's been the problem for the whole world. She's immoral. She's the one that's had the world stand up against him. I'm striking her down, and the cities of the nations fall. because they're all tied to her. And that's what he's trying to get him to see. Continue on. Yes. Sure, sure. Old Testament. You're talking about Old Testament Babylon. No, I don't want to get anybody mixed up. Yeah, because Old Testament Babylon, yeah, Old Testament Babylon's gone. He's using her to show that what happened to Old Testament Babylon, same thing happened to this Roman Empire, you know, that was back here. Look at chapter 17, verse 15. Look at what he says. And he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." The harlot, that's this woman, that's this city. What's her influence? What's her power? Yeah. See, she's over all these people, all these nations. Look at verse 18. "The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns presently over the kings of the earth." They're all the nations are under her at the writing of this book. And he points and says, "I want you to see her." The world is enraged. The world is against God. They are against God's anointed. They've always been against God's anointed. They continue to be against God's anointed. And Jesus is going to rule no matter if anybody on earth likes it. And we're going to let the power of all powers grow up. And if you remember when we went back through Daniel, we saw there was going to be that fourth nation that would rule the earth. And that fourth nation, it was a nation that was made of iron. But the feet had some clay in it. Had some soft spots. But it had teeth of iron and the fangs of a lion, and it was stronger than any other ruling nation that had ever existed before it. So God makes sure this great one comes up, because he's going to trample it down. See, verses like this tell us this cannot be anything else but Rome. It can't be. Nothing else fits, because nothing else, no one else ruled the kings of the earth. All right? Look at chapter 18. Look at verse 2 and 3 real quick. "And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality.'" She's the harlot. She's the influence. And she's affected the nations to be against God. That's the bottom line. Chapter 19. Chapter 19, there was a battle being set up. Jesus is riding his horse and his armies, and he was facing the beast, the false prophet, and their armies. Look at verse 15. "From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty." What is the function of Jesus on that throne now? He's going to strike down the nations. How does he strike them down? There's a sword that comes out, sharp sword from his mouth. And he smites down the nations, he strikes them down, and he will rule. And so they all go crumbling down. And then from this point, we see the systematic disarming and the rule, the reign of Jesus for the ending of this book. This city's been bad. This beast who rules in this city has been bad. And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He says, I want my bondservants to know the things that will soon take place. And you're going to have to go through a tough time. But what do you need to learn? Yep, there you go. I'll take care of you. And here's how I'm going to do it. I wrote up here on the board for you. I'm going to show you, Jesus said, what must soon take place. This is my revelation. I'm uncovering it. I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to go through. I rule. I rule from heaven with a rod of iron. I rule the nations. And the number one problem I had was with this city. This city was an influence for evil that stood everything against God and has drawn in all the other nations and has drawn in all the corruption from people to follow. Guess what I did to her? This woman, this harlot, Babylon the Great, Rome, I destroyed her. As a result of her going down, what happened? It took down, yes, it took down the nations and the other kings. Now then we had the kings of the armies of the earth. They stand up against Jesus and a sword comes out of the mouth of Jesus and the kings of the earth, He wipes them out. They're absolutely obliterated. I am King of Kings, Lord of Lords. On my cloak and on my right thigh. That's what's written. And I reign. Don't care if you're enraged or not, I reign. Now, what about the beast and the false prophet real quick? Look at chapter 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against Him who sat on the horse and against His army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were thrown alive into the lake of fire with brimstone. What happens to the beast and that false prophet? Yeah, I mean, they don't die. They're just snatched up and thrown alive. It's over with. For the beast. See, He's dismantling it one at a time. Well, guess who we have to deal with next? Who was the one that influenced this woman? Who was the one that used this beast to influence the kings of the earth? It was the dragon. It was the devil. That old serpent of old, he's been the source of evil behind them all. Guess what chapter 20 is about? Let me tell you what I'm going to do to that dragon, that deceiver, the devil, and Satan. And that's where we got up to last week. And that's where we saw that this angel comes out in the first part of 20. He has a chain and a key to the abyss, and he throws that chain around the dragon. Now, we know the devil is a spiritual being. Let me just quick lesson as we end. He's a spiritual being. You're not going to use a literal chain to chain up a spiritual being. It's a picture to show you the authority and the power and the reign that Jesus has. And He throws that chain around Him, puts Him into this abyss. But in one thing, well, I tell you, we're not going to have time to finish that out. But one thing about it, He's going to end up in the lake of fire. That's going to be His abiding place. Now next week we're going to hit the end of chapter 20. We're going to go into chapter 21. We find out that the dead unrighteous, those who died from, there were plagues all through this book. There were warnings from heaven given that kills man. We find out what happens to them. We find out what happened to the dead that were righteous that live with Jesus presently. And then we're going to still have some faithful alive and ungodly alive. We got to talk about what happens to them. But the message of the book is one message. And what is it? God's in control and Jesus reigns over the kings of the earth. Period. Even if the nations are enraged. Doesn't stop. Okay, we'll start there next week. Thank you.